I'm Jeff. Great to be with you this morning and extending or rounding off our series, Make Time for Friendship, by talking about friendship with Jesus. And if you would like to be baptized at the end of the service today as a sign of your friendship with Jesus, and we are able to make that possible for you. We have the pool filled and we have clothes and towels available. Even if during the course of this message you realize that's something that you want to do or need to do as part of your faith in Jesus and as a sign of your friendship with Him. In John chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus said to the young men with him in the upper room, "You are my friends." You are my friends. What a huge statement for Jesus to make. You are my friends. It was a huge statement for a couple of reasons. One is he wasn't their friend. He was their rabbi, their master, their teacher, their boss. They were his willing servants. He wasn't really their friend. But for him to say, "Now I call you friends," was a real game changer, a real mindset shift for those guys in the room that night. But also, they knew that he was the Son of God. They'd come to realize that. Not just the Messiah, not just a human figure sent to rescue their nation, but also God himself as a human being come to live with them and show us the way to God. He, God, was saying, "You are my friends." Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Jesus went on to say that "I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friend since I've told you everything the Father told me." Now, slaves was the normal way. It was the normal order. It wasn't that Jesus treated them like slaves in the way that you might think about slavery in those days. It's just that this is the way it was. He was the master, and they were the very willing servants or very willing slaves. But he says, actually, things have changed. You know, I've shared with you everything the Father has shared with me, and so now I prefer, rather than calling you slaves or treating you that way, I prefer to call you and treat you as friends. Absolutely incredible. And Jesus loved them so much, these guys. He loved them so much that he was going to die for them the very next day. Physically, you know, when he was arrested, they all scattered. They all got away with their lives that next day. But Jesus died in their place. But also spiritually. That's what we've talked about already today in communion, and it's been mentioned in the songs we sang, and Stuart brought it up in the guilt trip to get you out to join Cairns Street Chaplains. Very valid, that's good. Jesus was spiritually going to die for them, but not just them, for everyone who would ever believe in his name and follow after him, he was also going to die for them. Which means, if you have accepted what Jesus has done for you, he calls you friend. Jesus, the Son of God, calls you friend. Friend. Not slave, not just servant, not just your name, but also considers you his friend. Incredible. In this whole passage in John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17, there's some incredible truths and promises and instructions. Let's read it all together and then we'll have a bit of a look bit by bit. So Jesus said to the guys that night, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you." This fits so well at the end of our series, Make Time for Friendship. Notice that first verse at the top. I put it in bold just in case you couldn't see it. "This is my commandment." This is what I'm telling you to do. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. And then jump down to the bottom for a moment. He bookends it. "This is my command. Love each other." That's what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks, and we don't need to go into it anymore right now. We are going to move on to other topics. But it's not just about us, me and Jesus. It's also about us, each other, and making time for friendship and relationship with each other. So he goes on, between the bookends, "There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends," which he was just about to do. And he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you're my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other." Jesus defines what it means to be friends with him, or him to be friends with us, in three ways that we'll talk about today. In love, in obedience, and in revelation. So he says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. It was his death on the cross that was going to reveal and demonstrate and pass on this incredible love and sacrifice for the whole world. And so Paul the Apostle, who wasn't in the room that night, but came to know Jesus later, wrote most of our New Testament. He explains this so well in Romans chapter 5 in one of his letters. He writes, God showed his great love for us. That includes us. By sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And so since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God, there it is, since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we're still his enemies, we'll certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Friends of God know that they need that grace. They recognize they need that forgiveness. They know they need God's great love, and they accept their need and they accept that offer of God to give it long before we deserved it. Sometimes even before we really understood how much we need it, it's just that tiny little bit, that mustard seed, that little bit of inkling of faith to open yourself up to that need and that reality that God can provide it for you. That's what it means to become a friend of God. And so because of Jesus, God calls you friend. Friend. Imagine God, you know, turning up again in human form. And just coming up to you and saying, friend, big hug, high five, let's go for a walk together. God calls you friend. And so if you've accepted the love of Jesus and you're a friend of God, that should give you joy, should lead to joy in your life, rejoicing. Soak it up, settle in it, enjoy it. You are friends with the creator of the universe. Love. Love is a feature of friendship with Jesus. Now, in the order Jesus says them, the second one is the spiciest. We'll save it for last. Let's go to number three first. Jesus talks about revelation. He says to his disciples, now you're my friend since I've told you everything the Father told me. Now, this is true for them in a physical sense because he'd actually spoken it verbally to them. Everything that the Father had told him, he had passed on verbally to his disciples. But it's still true for us. Because Jesus sent his Spirit to continue this ministry of revelation. And so just a couple of verses earlier, same night, John chapter 14, Jesus had just said to them, when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, when the Father sends the Holy Spirit as my representative, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. When Jesus physically left his disciples, he said to them, just hang on and wait a little while in the city. Wait in Jerusalem and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And boy, oh boy, did they ever. The Spirit had already been with them, had already been around them, but on that day of Pentecost, the Spirit arrived within them. And from that moment onwards, every person that accepts Jesus in the way that we've been talking about all morning, accepts that love from him, also receives his Spirit, the continuing presence of Jesus to live within you. This whole new era of everyone receiving the Spirit of Jesus. So have you committed to following Jesus as the Son of God? It's not just an intellectual decision. It's not just a practical thing you do with your life. You receive the Spirit of Jesus to be with you and within you. And if you haven't ever made that decision, haven't received the Spirit, then you'll have an opportunity to make that decision today to follow Jesus as the Son of God, and straight away you receive him with you. The continuing presence of Jesus in your life. And one of the main roles, Jesus said, of his Spirit was to remind us. remind us of what Jesus has said, to teach us everything, and not just to teach us things to know about him, but also to apply that, to go, how do I do this? What does this look like in my life? How do I follow you, Jesus, today? It's these deep, personal, meaningful conversations with the God of the universe, spirit to spirit, which is why we read the Bible. Not just because we like books and words on pages are good, but we read the Bible to get to know Jesus. And the Spirit reveals things to us, speaks to us through the words on the page and the words on the screen. Have you ever had that experience reading the Bible and it's like the words just come to life or jump off the page and whack you in the chest? It's the Spirit at work, reminding you of everything Jesus had said. That's why we pray. Not just to give our shopping list and hope that we receive it by click and collect or by delivery the next day, because we want to get to know Jesus. That's why we listen for the voice of the Spirit, not just for guidance, not just to have answers, but because we want to get to know Jesus. And as a result of that, we have his peace. Doesn't mean we'll always be at peace, but we always have access to his peace, so we don't have to stay troubled or afraid. We can experience the peace of his friendship. So, love, revelation, a part of this friendship. And as I'm talking, you can probably think about times in your life when, yeah, I've experienced love from my friendship with Jesus. I've experienced revelation from my friendship with Jesus. Let's come back to the second one that Jesus said. He said, "You're my friends if you do what I command." It's not normally the kind of thing we say to our friends, is it? Not normally the kind of thing we get away with saying to our friends. Imagine with me for a moment that you start playing a new sport. Let's just make it hockey. You start playing hockey, you join a hockey team, you start hanging out with your teammates, training sessions, games. Afterwards, sometimes you go for a drink with a few of your teammates. And one day as you're sitting there with them, a couple of months into playing hockey, you say, "Hey, I'm really enjoying this. I love this sport. I love our team. I'm really enjoying hanging out with you guys now. But we're really kind of forming a friendship here. I just thought I should just straight up just let you know, to clarify, just to get this off my chest. As we become friends, are you ever going to have a problem doing what I tell you to do?" That's not going to be a problem, right? Like, let's just sort this out from the start. If I ever tell you to do something, you're just going to do it, right? Because we're friends now. That should give you red flags. That's the kind of conversation where you go back last week and listen to Brian's message on times you might need to wisely unfriend from new people in your hockey team. It's the kind of statement that you might expect from kids in a sandpit. If you don't give me that truck, then I'm not going to be your friend. Fine by me. If you don't get out of my way, then you're not coming to my party. That's the kind of immature level of friendship that we learn when we're very young. But as we get older, we realize that real friendship doesn't work on obedience. So what does Jesus mean? Is his word command, is it just badly translated from the original Greek into English? Maybe he just means that you'll do what I ask you to do. If it also happens to line up with what you also want, then that will mean you're my friend. Sorry, doesn't mean that. It just means to obey. It means to do what you're asked to do when you're given direction. It's a good translation. So maybe thinking about the relationship between a healthy parent and a trusting child is helpful for us to understand here. When a young child trusts their parent and obeys them and does what the parent commands, it's good for them. It leads to their growth. It leads to their safety and to their thriving. When a parent says, "Hey, you're upset, come here for a cuddle. Hey, don't run on the road, it's dangerous. Hey, don't touch the stove, it's hot and you're going to get burned. Hey, why don't you bring a jumper? It's cold outside." These are all good signs of obedience, of a trusting child to a healthy parent. It leads to safety and it leads to growth. Jesus is our friend. But he's not our equal. Never has been, never will be our equal. He's still the God of the universe. He sees the bigger picture and he always knows best. And as our friendship with him matures, he will start to give us more freedom. He doesn't need to tell us how to do everything, because we learn and we grow and we mature. And he's better than a perfect parent in that way. But we never ever outgrow the need to trust and obey Jesus. Because friendship with Jesus is different than our friendships with each other. There are some similar elements, but there's always this different thing because Jesus is different than any other person you'll ever meet, any other person in the universe. And so if we think about love, Jesus loves us selflessly because of who he is. His position and his authority means he can love us selflessly. When we love each other, it's not because I'm better than you or I'm more perfect than you. We love each other selflessly because we all need each other. We have revelation in our friendships with each other, but it's not the same way that Jesus, who knows all, reveals things to us. It's in the way that through our vulnerability, we share revelation or experience revelation with each other. And when we talk about obedience, you know, we don't all just do whatever the other says, but we do want to help each other. We do want to come alongside each other and walk together. But with Jesus, it's different because of who he is. And so it could be helpful to think about Jesus in his relationship with God, his Father. Jesus' obedience to the Father doesn't make him the Son. Jesus wasn't the Son of God because he did everything that the Father told him to do, but his obedience flowed out of his position as the Son. Because he's the Son, he wanted to and he did obey. And so your obedience to everything Jesus asks you to do doesn't make you his friend. You can't earn your friendship by obedience, but your obedience will flow out of your friendship with him. So one of the very last things Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, he said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." None of my other friends can say that. So Jesus is obviously different. He said, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and you guys make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you." There's not loads of them. There's some main categories, and we already read a few minutes ago those big ones about love. They're commands from Jesus to love each other. So teach these new disciples to obey all these commands that I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus, with all of his authority and all of his power in heaven and on earth, calls you his friend and then says, "Friend, you need to now go. I'm giving you instructions. You've got to go, and as you go, teach people about me, introduce people to me, baptize them into my name and into my new community, and teach them to also follow me and obey me in the same way. And you can trust me in this. I'll be with you always, every day, until the very end." So if you consider yourself a friend of Jesus this morning, you will obey him. Because what he calls you to do and what he commands you to do is good and life-giving for you and for the people around you. And I wonder, as I'm talking, if you can think about times in your life when from your obedience to him, you experienced life and joy. And I wonder, as you listen right now, if you think to yourself, you know, I can think of some areas in my life when I'm actively obeying Jesus. I know he's asked me to do something and I've done it, or I'm in the process of doing it. Or you realize, actually, I'm actively resisting Jesus right now. I know he's asked me to do something and I'm not doing it. I haven't done it. I've been trying to ignore it or run away from it. Now, built into Jesus' words is this command to go and baptize people, which means as you become a follower of Jesus, by inverse, being baptized is an act of your obedience as a follower of Jesus, part of your friendship. So you get to say, when you commit yourself to following Jesus, you get to say that Jesus is the Son of God and I have accepted him as my Lord and my Savior. This means that I'm his friend. And I want to follow him in everything, including baptism. It's a public statement, baptism. It's symbolic of you identifying with Jesus. You know, we put people right under the water, just like Jesus did. He went right under the water. And as we do that, we're identifying with his death, dying with him. And then we bring people right back up and we're identifying with his resurrection to new life. A few weeks ago, as you see on the screen, we got to baptize Ryan. who's here this morning. And one of the things that Ryan said as we were preparing for his baptism, he said, you know, we talked about how he'd already received love from Jesus. He'd already received the Spirit. He'd begun to receive revelation from Jesus. And he wanted to obey Jesus. And he said to me, it feels like I can't go any further until I'm baptized. This is just what I need to do. And so as soon as was possible, he was baptized. Now, baptism can be done as your very first step of obedience. Or if you just hadn't thought about it that way before, or hadn't got around to it before, or the water was too cold before, you could choose to do it today as just the next step of obedience. Even if you've been following and obeying in your life for years, if you are a friend of Jesus, there's nothing stopping you from being baptized today. Nothing physical stopping you. You know, I said at the start, you know, just at the back there's a table, and it's got towels that you can use and keep. And there's clothes of all different sizes that you can use and keep. There's nothing physical stopping you from being baptized. The pool is filled. And, you know, we talked about in the weeks prior, you know, we were going for a picnic in the park and we could do baptisms in the creek. We're doing a picnic here, and the creek that's close to our church is not great for baptisms. But if you had your heart set on that, then there's nothing stopping us from finishing the picnic and then going to a nicer creek and baptizing you there today. Nothing physically stopping you. Even if you didn't come prepared, we prepared in advance just in case God moved in your heart. Now, if you have someone in mind that you would love to be there for your baptism, and you're thinking, I think I should, I think I want to, but so-and-so is not here, that's okay. That's a good thing that you want them here. But if they're a real friend, when you ring them this afternoon and you tell them you were baptized, they will rejoice with you at your baptism. And we'll take photos that you can share with them to celebrate with you. If in your baptism you're worried about, you know, the public nature of it, and it is a public statement, you know, in front of people, you go under the water and you come back up. But if it's the being on stage and microphone aspect, that's not how we do baptism. We'll ask you why you're being baptized, and you'll do it in front of people, but we don't make you stand up and tell your story to every single person in the church. We take photos, and the next week we'll celebrate with you and share why you got baptized. Now, if you're worried about it being cold, which is very, very valid, it's winter. I can't do anything about that for you, except we do live in one of the best places in the world, and you'll get over it and warm up pretty quickly afterwards. If you feel like you need to wait, there's some problems in your life that you need to sort out first, I can tell you that you don't need to wait to sort out those problems. Because you'll never be perfect enough to be baptized. The point is not that you're perfect and ready. The point is that you recognize your problems before God, because he's already ready to forgive you for those problems and already to bring you into his family as his friend. Jesus already paid for what your sins and your mistakes deserve. So if you feel like you're not good enough to be baptized today, let me tell you that you're not. You aren't good enough to be baptized today. And you don't have to be good enough. The question is, do you trust that Jesus will receive you as his friend based on what he has already done for you? Here's the criteria. Here's the questions that we ask you. It'll be on the screen. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And have you accepted him as a Lord and Savior of your life? Lord as in boss, someone that you'll follow, and Savior as in the one who died for you and can save you from your mistakes and your sin. And your yes to those questions means that you're ready. You're already a friend of Jesus and ready to be baptized. So as I finish this message before we sing, here's what we're going to do. First of all, I'm going to pray for everyone in the room who's already a friend of Jesus and already been baptized. And I want to pray for each of you that you will continue to experience love and revelation and obedience in your friendship with Jesus. That will bring life to you and purpose to you. And particularly today, if you've realized, hey, I'm actually actively resisting Jesus in some areas, I want to pray for you this morning about that. And then after I finish that prayer, just while everyone is in that mode or position of prayer, you know, eyes closed and heads bowed and concentrating in that way, I'm going to ask the question if there's anyone here this morning who wants to get baptized now. And when I ask that question, if that's you, if you'd like to be baptized, all you need to do is just lift your head and look at me, just so that I know who you are. You don't need to sing or dance or stand or do anything else, just to look at me so I know who you are. And then after I finish that prayer, while we sing, anyone who's going to be baptized can just move over to that table with the towels and the clothes. And there'll be people there to talk with you, to hear why you're being baptized, to help you get ready. And the pool is filled. So about 10 minutes after the service, we'll have those baptisms. Are we ready? All right. Let's pray. First, for everyone who already has been baptized. Jesus, I pray today that our friendship with you would sink past an idea in our heads and sink into an experience in our hearts. As if you were here, Jesus, in person, that you walked into the room, looked me, looked each person in the eye and said, "Friend, I'm so glad to see you." And would we experience love in our friendship with you? Would you continue to reveal things to us through your Spirit? And would you help us to obey you? Because you know everything and see everything, and you are our Lord. And just before I ask the question, God, I want to ask for anyone that you have spoken to today about baptism, whether they experience that as your prompting or just as a decision they're making which seems right to them, God, I pray that you would give them the courage and the peace of responding to you. So I'd ask just everyone, however you have been praying, just with your head down and your eyes closed, just stay like that. But if there's anyone here this morning that's ready to be baptized after the service, just now, if you want to lift your head and look at me, go for it. Is there anyone that wants to be baptized today? Just lift your head now and look at me. Let me pray for those people that are responding. Jesus, I thank you that for each of these people, you already call them your friend. And today, as they get baptized in their obedience to you, God, would you raise them up in their spirit? Would you call them to follow you closely? Lord, give them your love and your revelation, I ask in your name.